with SDPB News. I'm Crystal Mija. A Mitchell man is convicted of assaulting, resisting, and impeding a federal officer. 38-year-old Dustin Todd Long is sentenced to 5 years in a federal prison after refusing to obey a federal officer's commands. He was in Eagle Butte in August 2023 when Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe Law Enforcement Services officers gave him commands. Long pointed a handgun at the officers. After doing so, he began to walk toward Main Street while waving the handgun around. He continued to ignore orders to drop the gun. Law enforcement apprehended Long and later determined the firearm was not loaded. U.S. Senator Mike Rounds is introducing a bill to eliminate the U.S. Department of Education. The South Dakota Republican says it's long past time to end this, quote, bureaucratic department. The proposal would redistribute critical federal programs to other departments. The Department of Education was established by Congress. To eliminate it, the bill requires 60 votes in the Senate. Republicans will have 53 members in the chamber next year. President-elect Donald Trump has promised to eliminate the department. Trump recently nominated professional wrestling magnate and former U.S. Small Business Administration head Linda McMahon to lead the agency. A new study has found systemic barriers to voting on tribal lands contribute to substantial disparities in turnout. The Brennan Center for Justice released the study Tuesday. Between 2012 and 2022, it examined 21 states with federally recognized tribal lands that meet certain population criteria. Researchers found that voter participation in federal elections was 7% lower in midterms and 15% lower in presidential elections than among those living off tribal lands in the same states. The report cited long distances to polling places on tribal lands and little to no public transportation are among the hurdles. In July of 2024, the Justice Department notified Bennett County officials that it had not made in-person voter registration and absentee voting opportunities equal for Native Americans during South Dakota's 46-day absentee voting period. Officials said Native Americans there disproportionately lack the ability to travel to the county seat in Martin for voting services. The U.S. and Bennett County reached an agreement that says the county will establish and operate a satellite office in Allen to provide more accessible services. The Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals is weighing whether setbacks for carbon dioxide pipelines in two Iowa counties are allowed. Summit Carbon Solutions argues the regulations are preempted by the federal government. SDPB's Lee Strubinger reports.
Summit Carbon Solutions argue the safety standards for pipelines that carry hazardous materials are regulated by the federal government. During oral arguments on Wednesday, Summit lawyer Ryan Koopmans says the Iowa County ordinances regulating location and routing of a pipeline are preempted by federal safety standards.
But at the very least, there has to be some objective reason about why you would do this other than safety. And again, a 1,000-foot setback from a farmhouse in the middle of a rural county, there is no other reason other than safety.
Lawyers for the two Iowa counties say safety standards are different than county ordinances for safety concerns. Jason Craig argued on behalf of the counties. He says safety standards are for design and construction of a pipeline, thickness, depth, and how it's welded. Craig says setbacks are different.
Routing and location of pipelines is a separate field from those types of safety standards. And states and local authorities have authority to regulate location and routing.
The court will issue a ruling at a later date. Summit's pipeline permit was rejected last year for violating setback ordinances in four South Dakota counties. Summit Carbon Solutions recently reapplied for its South Dakota permits. In its application letter, the company admits their proposed route is not fully compliant with existing ordinances presently enacted in several counties. Summit already has permits in Iowa and North Dakota. A decision is still pending in Minnesota. I'm SDPB's Lee Strubinger.
A new study from the American Heart Association shows a disparity in cardiovascular health risks between rural and urban areas. According to the data collected between 2010 and 2022, cardiovascular death rates increased by 21% among young adults in rural areas. The similar age group in urban areas only saw a 3% increase. Risk factors for cardiovascular health problems include high blood pressure, obesity, and diabetes, which have all been increasing in rural areas. Tim Nicolai is the Midwest Senior Rural Health Director for the American Heart Association. He says factors like high-speed internet and fresh produce can affect health outcomes. These challenges leave rural providers stretched thin.
It's stretched hospitals and healthcare providers to try to serve the needs of their community the best way they can. And that's something we're trying to collaborate with them on, is how can they meet people where they are.
Some work is being done in South Dakota to provide more support in rural areas. Some local libraries now offer blood pressure monitoring, and towns are prioritizing CPR training and AED access. In an economy like the Black Hills tourism industry, recruiting the right workers is critical to keep the lights on and the visitors happy. That's why the announcement of additional H-2B visa opportunities for foreign workers could be a benefit to South Dakota. SDPB's CJ Keene has more.
The U.S. Department of Homeland Security announced this week 65,000 new H-2B visas will be available for temporary non-agricultural workers across the nation. It's a program supported by South Dakota Senator Mike Rounds, who says it can help American employers and assist people trying to move to the nation on a temporary basis. CEO of Visit Rapid City, Brooke Kaufman, says that extends to the hotels, restaurants, and storefronts of the Black Hills.
So I got here in 2022. The workforce need was dire. I mean, we just didn't have enough workers in the hospitality industry specifically to manage just what was happening with the visitor volume. In reaching out to some of our partners, I would say that levels out, but it doesn't mean that there's ever enough of that frontline worker available. You know, there's a population of people who want to be in the U.S. in those jobs working.
It's no small feat to get involved in the highly competitive H-2B program, which is why Kaufman says it's always better to work with an established peer.
It's an intense endeavor for any business who decides to get into it. So a lot of times it's lodging is involved, transportation is involved. I mean, there's an infrastructure that goes in setting up the support around that program. So I know a lot of our hoteliers here in town do it. So if you are considering getting into that space, reach out to a peer who can help you navigate it.
The new visas became available for businesses and applicants for fiscal year 2025, which is already underway. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Rapid City.
Elevate Rapid City launches a new micro-credential program that helps connect job seekers with employment. The Career Lift program offers courses designed in partnership with Western Dakota Technical College in soft skills and knowledge of the healthcare or construction industries. Upon completion of the free credential program, participants are guaranteed a job interview with either Monument Health or School Construction. According to Elevate Rapid City, construction and healthcare are two of the city's highest demand industries. Officials plan to eventually expand the program to additional industries. South Dakota Spelling Bee hopefuls could find themselves without a contest this year. According to reporting from the Argus Leader, South Dakota is without a regional partner to sponsor the state competition and champion for the national competition. Scripps National Spelling officials say without a regional partner, South Dakota could be the only state without a speller for the 100th annual Bee in 2025. Officials are hoping to find a partner by mid-December. DOT officials say grading work on State Highway 15 south of Clear Lake to State Highway 28 is complete and will open to through traffic by Saturday. But they want you to know that part of the roadway is a treated temporary gravel surface and you'll need to take extra care due to possible loose gravel. They say they'll post a lower speed limit through that gravel section and they'll complete cleanup work on Highway 15 as weather allows in the coming weeks. Permanent asphalt paving for the project is scheduled for next year. Black Hills State University is home to a collection of plants dating back to the 1870s. Mark Gable is the curator and oversees the care and management of all the pressed and dried plants. SDPB's Ryan Bozer visited Gable to learn what the collection can show us about our past.
I think it provides a good perspective because we've got a lot of specimens before there was very much development in the Black Hills and in the western part of South Dakota. And so we've got a pretty good record of what the native plants were like. And also, incidentally, we've got collections of weedy plants that have moved in. And so you can kind of track the origin and then the spread of the invasive species as well.
Based off of what you are able to see in this sort of collection, is there a pretty big shift in time between, you know, native grasses are prevalent and overpowering to, oh, now we got some invasive or brought in specimens now? Is there a shift that we can sort of track
that? Yeah, in terms of numbers of weeds, and I think the numbers of acres of weeds, we can certainly see an increase in those. And a consequential decrease in the native species, I think mostly due to human activity, that we've got lots of roads and parking lots and cities and places that have basically wiped out the native vegetation.
A majority of these specimens come from the Black Hills region. You've already mentioned that there's the native plants that were here provided a high level of biodiversity. Is that biodiversity still there today?
More or less. I think there have been a few species that we've lost that are no longer with us, but for the most part, yeah, we still have the biodiversity if we take care of it.
Okay.
So yeah, we don't know for sure. Yeah,
that's right. That's comforting because, you know, we can think about what used to be here and all the changes that have had to occur in the past, pick a span of time, right?
Right.
And how different the hills have to look. I mean, I've met plenty of folks who are, you know, a couple decades older than myself, and they'll go, oh, yeah, well, it looked totally different 10, 20, 30 years ago. And so I can't imagine going even further back than that, how big of a change that must look like. And you have records that more or less show some of that change.
Right.
I think to other collections I've been in before and how it helps give us that window into the past, like we've been talking about. But you did something that I haven't thought of before. Of you're thinking, oh, well, 100 years from now, they're going to be able to look back and see what was present, what was here. Tell me about the efforts that have to go into maintaining a collection like this to make sure it is here for another 100, 200 years.
Well, one of the things we do is we prohibit people from bringing plants into the herbarium, either living or dead, unless they have been in a freezer for a week or more at minus 20 Celsius. And so that's the idea, is to keep critters, bugs out that or insects that might want to chomp on our plants that are laid out so nicely for them. And also, it's kind of keeping up with the name changes. Even though scientific names are relatively static, there are always new things we're learning about the plants and about the families that the plants are in, and so they're kind of a continuing flow of name changes that we need to keep up with in the herbarium if we are going to keep current and have people, say, 20 years from now, they're going to come and look. And if we haven't kept up with our name changes, then they won't be able to find the plants they're looking for. And so we've got over 100,000 plants in the herbarium, and if, you know, if you can't just start at the beginning and start rooting through them to try and find the plant you want, well, they have to be in a systematic order in the cabinets.
Right. But I think what you're telling me here, though, Mark, is science changes.
It does.
Okay.
Learn more by visiting sdpb.org/news. With SDPB News, I'm Crystal Mija. And that is your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at SDPB News. And visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on all our journalism as it comes in. And as always, thanks for listening.